Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell, a weekly conversation about the things that matter most in our lives with Stace Cargi and Lindy Turner.
Welcome back to another edition of Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell. I am Stace Cargi.
Hey, and I'm Lindy Turner.
And this is our weekly conversation about all things that matter, our families, our faith, our fortunes. Let's talk about fortunes.
Oh,
I like that.
I'm rich. Rich beyond measure.
Well, especially today because we are celebrating you.
And you.
And all of the mothers. Yay,
that's
happy
right.
Mother's
Yay,
Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yay. And Lindy just told me what she said she wanted more than anything when the kids were young. And what was that you wanted so much for Mother's Day?
Oh, when my husband would say, what do you want for Mother's Day? I'm like, what I want for Mother's Day is for you to take the children and go somewhere all day long and just let me have a day of peace.
The perfect day.
I know.
The perfect day. You know, and, you know, I mean, a spa certificate is great. I'll take that, too.
Yes.
However, could I just sleep in?
Yes. Just a moment aside when the kids are really, really, really small. It's a lot, man. Mothers and fathers, but this is Mother's Day.
This is Mother's Day. They get their day next month.
Next month we'll talk about that. But, you know, it's like it is it's a full-time job at times 50, and it is the most important thing we ever, ever do. But hats off to everyone because it is also the most rewarding.
Agreed.
But it's okay to have some time off.
It's okay to want that one day of just peace and quiet.
Just at least maybe a few hours, something.
Yes. Yes. I remember, you know, Mother's Day growing up and, you know, going out and picking flowers for Mom and, you know, and giving them to her and, you know, realizing now that I was giving her weeds that probably brought aphids in the house and, you know, but she was always so happy, you know, always showed that. And you know, my mom's been gone now 2.5 years. And I think back on all of the times that I was able to celebrate with her and the times that I wasn't.
Yes.
Right, you know. And I think the one thing that my one PSA would be, if your mom is still with us, and Mom takes on a lot of different terms. There are grandmoms.
Yep.
There are auntie moms.
Yep.
There are bonus moms.
Yep.
Whatever form that mother is, please just take a moment and acknowledge them. And if they are no longer on this earth, you know, it is okay to have whatever feelings you may have.
That's exactly right. You know, okay, we're going to get this over, and then we're going to go on to happier things.
Yeah.
But the reality is, Stace, you know, you have recently lost your mom, and it's so hard. I lost mine when I was very young. I was 32, which was very young to lose your mother when I had very small children at the time. But it felt at that time, and every time someone loses their mom, and I don't care how old you are, it's like the day you grow up, really.
Exactly.
It really 100%. Is. It's like, oh my gosh, your world is shaken. Mm-hmm. The platform under your feet is opened up, and it's hard.
Yeah, I remember my mom told me when her mom passed, is I'm an orphan now. And my mom was like, you know, 62 years old, but I'm an orphan now. And I remember my brother saying that.
Yeah.
Well, we're all orphans now.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, so.
But the reality,
she's
still here.
Is, right. You're right. It is when you become an adult.
It is.
You know, and I look at Mother's Day now very differently. I have 17 children and I never gave birth to any of them. And I am so blessed that they have all come into my world through whatever means they've come in, and they've come in some crazy means. I was that person that I always thought I would have a family, but I never saw myself giving birth.
Really?
Yeah. And I can't explain why or how I felt that way.
Right.
I just always felt a different type of mothering.
Right.
And I think that's really interesting, too, because I see so many of my friends and my family members who struggle. One of my daughters struggled with fertility, struggled.
Yes.
I mean, and all she wanted was to be a mom. Like,
yes.
This was her, like, guttural instinct. And they tried everything, the IVFs, the Whoopi-Doves, the whatevers, right?
Right.
All the letters you can think of, they tried it. And they changed her asthma medicine. And she got pregnant. And that's when she had our little Remington.
Oh,
and
really?
Then just 2 weeks ago, I'm on my chat and I get a text message and it's an ultrasound. And
oh.
Remington's about to be a big brother.
Oh, yay.
So she'll have two boys. And she said, that's it, I'm done. I said, man, that's some really good asthma medicine.
Right?
That's like some off-label stuff. They're going to be prescribing this thing for a whole different.
I'm like, oh, man. Yeah. Everybody's going to be looking for
I
that.
I got asthma. Need a baby.
I need some of that, whatever.
Isn't that crazy, though?
It is crazy.
And so my heart goes out to those who are struggling.
Yes.
With fertility and, you know, that have that because I know every time it was just another heartbreak for them. And so if you are struggling, the worst thing that my daughter would say to me is, well, you could always adopt or you could always foster.
Mm-hmm.
And my children came to me through foster adopt.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a huge advocate of that. But I think when you say something like that, it is best intentioned as it is.
Yeah.
Right? It's almost like getting like a little pierce in the heart.
Yes.
Right? Like, well, you're not good enough to do it this way, so you can have the consolation prize. Let me tell you, my kids aren't consolation prizes.
Exactly.
You know, my kids are the real deal. So I think that's something that, again, we try to say the quote-unquote right thing, and we maybe just shove our foot down our throats a little bit because motherhood is that sort of thing that I think defines so many of us as women.
Well, and that's true. And you know, how often with this topic or any other topic, particularly if you haven't walked in those moccasins, if you don't know what those clothes feel like of whatever someone's facing, just keep your mouth shut because you don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a struggle to do that because we all want to make people feel better.
Yes.
So, you know, but I'm pretty sure most of us in most families have that someone who has struggled or, you know, has that heartbreak.
Yeah.
I don't know. Asthma medicine, that's an interesting thing. But
it's the craziest thing.
Yeah. So, sending out love to
Those who are
to all those folks as well.
Yeah. Those who are trying and those who keep in the faith because, you know, I feel you. And you know, my sister was one of those that she had that wanting to have a child so much, and it was very instinctual, and she lost several pregnancies and was never able to conceive. She ended up adopting her son, and she's, you know, that's her world is her son.
Yeah.
You know, her absolute world. And my brother was actually the only one of us three kids that had biological children.
Mm-hmm.
So hear me, the one who thought, well, maybe I'll have kids and maybe I won't have kids. I ended up with 17. So I get teased a lot. It's like, how did this happen? You know, the craziest thing is that my brother with the biologicals, they are the youngest of all the grandkids. It's like, how did that happen? My brother's like, you know, I look around, he's like, I made mine, and you guys just came over and usurped me with your older kids.
Right?
You know? But the one thing I will say about my mom, and I think that this is where I get this from, is to her, she could have a favorite kid, depending on the day of the week, but all grandkids were created equal.
Well, you know, I was just going to say, and we've got to also shout out to the grandmothers because, you know, there's something quite like that.
Yeah.
Even if there is a day for that, although I never know when that is. But
yeah, all grandkids were created equal. My mom did not care where they came from. She did not care, and my father as well, his grandpa, they did not care what means grandchildren came into the family. They were all grandchildren. My son came to us when he was 12, came to live with my husband and I, and he didn't know anyone, and it was a very hard transition for him. And he ended up getting on the football team. Son loves football. Well, my dad was probably the biggest sports guy there was.
Right.
So my dad and Dakota instantly bonded. And my dad would call him before every game, go out there and you just kick butt for grandpa. You know, go out there and just, right?
Yeah.
And my father passed away about 9 months after Dakota came to live with us. But I was glad that he had that very short period of time with Dakota.
Yeah.
And he would brag on him just crazy because he loved him so much and he took him into the fold. And then there was my mother. My mother, we moved her out here to Tennessee from Seattle. And Dakota and her had such a unique and strong bond. She would call me up and she'd say, I saw my Dakota today. My Dakota came over and he brought me a chocolate peanut butter milkshake. Those were her favorites. And we sat out on the porch and we talked for 3 hours. Did he tell you that? No, Mom, he didn't. But I'm, you know, but that I think is such a beautiful thing that she didn't care where it came from. She was going to love on all of those grandkids and then their kids. And it just, she was grandma when she passed to 30. You know, and now, you know, she'd be like, so now Stacey's going to have 38 by the end of the year. And, you know, she's got her calculator out to calculate how many grandkids she's got now. And she is proud. She was as proud as could be of that.
Well, there you go. So, well, we know where you got it then.
The big heart
from your mom and your dad too.
Oh yeah.
You know,
yeah,
that openness, and love for all, which is a lovely and very special thing.
Yeah, and yeah. I'm very glad that, you know, that I had that. So when I think about Mother's Day, those are the
actually what I want to say is I am so happy for you that you've had that blessing of all those children and your grandchildren.
Yes.
You know, because
me too.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know,
and I'm also glad you didn't have to have them all in the, you know, maybe have them in the same room at the same time.
Oh, I'm glad.
I'm going to go with that. But,
I'm glad I didn't have to change those diapers.
I'm glad you didn't have to buy those,
right?
All those diapers.
Right? I mean, can we talk for a minute about the single moms?
Oh, yeah. Let's do.
I mean, because you were.
Yes. I was raised by a single mother. Yes, I was. And my aunt, my mother and my aunt were very close sisters, and we lived in the same town, and they were both single moms back when, you know, that was not very common. So when I was in elementary school, I was the only person I knew that didn't have a father, which meant absolutely nothing to me. It did not bother me a bit. You know, I mean, I just never have had that concept necessarily. But the concept I do know is that what's important is that you're in a home where there's love.
That's exactly it.
That's what matters.
Yep.
You know, having whatever Ozzie and Harriet or nobody knows what I'm talking about. Whatever your family is, it's your family.
That's right.
Sometimes it's biological. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's you choose it. Sometimes you don't. But my prayer for you, all of us, is that we have a family where there's love.
Yeah.
And and that, you know, and that you have good mothering, whether that's from your father, single father, or wherever. I hope everybody has had that experience of that love that is unconditional and also can, like a lightning snap, turn around and put you in your place.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's a special thing, you know? It's like, you know, that's doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean love's perfect. But it's always there. And I hope everyone has that experience.
So now you've got two biological?
Yes, I do.
And then a bonus. correct? You have a bonus kid too, or you've got just bonus kids all around that were like
I kind of have
auxiliary.
Bonus kids all over.
Yeah, that's something.
They're my daughter. Yeah, you know.
Couple, yeah, you okay, so you got some bonuses too. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're kind of in the same atmosphere as me that I'm like, okay, they're like a I come from periphery
do.
Kids.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, sons by other mothers or daughter by another mother. Kind of thing. But yes, I have two children, a boy and a girl, and I have three grandsons. So I'm way behind you in the count. But they're, you know, they're everything. You know, everything everybody always says about grandkids is absolutely true.
What's the biggest difference between being a mom and being a grandma?
Not being the disciplinarian.
You're the cookie monster.
I am. I am the, you know, let's go to Gigi's house, you know.
I love that Gigi. That's her, that's your grandma.
That's my grandma name is Gigi. Yeah. And, it's always funny. I pretend like I don't see him, but I see him all the time when my kids are, you know, whatever, we're having a family thing and I'll be something with the grandkids and I see my son and my daughter will look at each other and say, do you see that? Do you know what she would have done if we'd have done that? You know,
it's oh,
like,
yeah.
Hey, you know, but, it's your job to teach them what don't do that. Not mine.
Rules go out the window.
They, yeah. Although I'm not completely a pushover, but kind of. I just want to be fun.
Well, yeah, because you've done all the hard stuff,
because
right?
It is fun.
Yeah, I mean, you've done all the raising and the, you know, bedtime and all of this.
Yeah.
And now you want to just be able to, you know, make some popcorn and build a fort and, you know, we'll all sleep out here and we'll camp out and and eat some s'mores. And then, oh, by the way, your mommy will be here in an hour to pick you up.
Yeah, yeah. How many desserts do you want?
Right. It's the best thing. I remember my mom, she would always have... We had two grandkids that lived very close to us, so they were over a lot. So that's who my kind of point of reference is growing up. But we had Christopher and we had Danielle. And Christopher was disabled, and Danielle was not. So they would sit at the table, and Christopher could say a few words. And one of them was Aish. He would say Aish. Well, Aish meant ice cream.
Uh-huh.
And Danielle would say Malos or cookie.
Oh, like those
so either marshmallows or cookies.
Right? Yeah.
That's what she wants. So my mom always had, there was always ice cream, and there was a sticky note on. There was a note, Christopher's. And then there was a special cookie stash that was Danielle's. And I knew if I went in there even with a spoon to take a little bite of that ice cream, I would have been smacked into next Thursday. There would have been no quarter about that. I mean, it would have just happened, right?
Yep.
Because that was her thing. That was their thing together.
Yeah.
And Christopher, you know, Christopher had a lot of these disabilities, and mentally was at about an 18-month is about where he progressed to. Christopher knew certain things very, very well. And he knew that when he walked into Grandma and Grandpa's house, he was going to walk in, he was going to give kisses, he was going to sit up at the chair at the dining room table, and he was going to wait there patiently because Grandma was going to be there with a bowl of ice cream. And to this day, there are things that I think about back to that time and what his level of cognition was, and I'm like, you know, that bond of love, you know, that he could not just recognize but understand time and time again that this was an embedded in him is so special. And I know that my mom talked about it forever, you know, that she was so glad that she always had ice for Christopher you know, and cookies for Danielle.
Yeah.
And then when my kids came along, my kids were all about marshmallows.
Yeah.
So then there wasn't the marshmallow stash.
Right.
You know, and then my sister's son, he liked a certain candy. So then there was that for him.
Yep.
And so it was, and I'm like, man, where's my candy bar? You know, where'd that go? You know, but I'm so happy about it. I'm happy that my kids had that time. I'm happy that Dakota had that time with Grandma to be able to hear her stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the one thing that I am regretful about, we talked about this for years, that we really wanted to have her record her life story. And there are softwares now that are available, and especially with AI technology, where you can take it over and you can just basically press a button.
Mm-hmm.
and talk to your mom and have her share stories, and it will transcribe them.
Uh-huh.
And you can print them out. You can bind them as a book. And what a lovely, lovely keepsake that would have been.
Oh, golly. No kidding. The things that you wish you could hear again experience again. I know we're here talking about Mother's Day, but my father-in-law, at his 88th birthday, we had a get-together, and I did a lot of recording, mm-hmm. Just on my phone. And I posted on Facebook, family group kind of thing, and that thing comes up every year, and it's so special.
Yes.
It's so special, and I keep thinking about do that for me, for my grandkids and my husband. So I don't know what software you're talking about, because I'm like, you could do this, but good night, the memory that it would take and where would you put it? But that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's an AI. Yeah, I know there's a couple different ones, and you can just Google it.
Yeah, that's a good thought.
I mean, to me, those are the things, right? Because as I get older, there's things that I want that I don't have. My mom's voice, I'm lucky that I have a lot of that because she was on my radio shows for many years.
Yes.
So I can listen to my mom.
Yeah.
And that's so sweet, right? And makes me laugh.
Yeah.
Because she was so feisty and spunky and just,
yes.
She was in your face. And, that all comes through, believe me. So that's really cool. I miss her recipes. One of the things I did for my kids a few years ago was I got them all cookbooks that, were handwritten kind of cookbooks.
Right.
And I wrote out their favorite recipes that I make for them.
Right.
The ones that they always ask me for. And I'm like, that would have been so great if mom would have done that, because to this day, I cannot make my potato salad taste like my mother's, and it drives me insane.
Even if she'd written it down,
I know,
it wouldn't have tasted the same. It's funny you said that, because Laura, my daughter, who you certainly know, for Christmas, she gave me a recipe book where you're supposed to write, and it's like every couple of weeks she'll go, "You writing those recipes down? Are you writing?" I'm like, I'm not sure. I'm trying. Like I do all that much cooking anymore for two. But, and my son, a few years ago, this has been, years go by fast, but it's probably seven, eight. It doesn't matter how many years ago. At any rate, for Christmas one year, I got cutting boards, and for each of them, and I hand wrote recipes on
that.
Both of them. I make good cornbread. I'll be happy to say it. I make awesome cornbread. And they're always like, "How do you make it?" I'm like, "But I don't measure anything," which of course is very frustrating. But one Christmas, I'm like, "Okay." So I made like 20 pounds of cornbread trying to, to get it to figure out just how much of everything. And I bought, of course, the cast iron skillet is the most important part, but not new ones, only old ones. And I cleaned them up and I seasoned them for my son, my daughter, two other daughters, for Christmas. But on my kids, I wrote the cornbread recipe on for all of them on the back of a cutting board, Sharpie, and then on the other side, one's other favorite is lasagna, and the other one's chicken and dumplings. So for them to have that. Well, I'll get there to the end of the story. This year at Christmas, my son said, "It's about gone. It's about worn off." And I said, "Just take a Sharpie." He said, "No." He said, "I want you to write the recipe out again, and I'm going to have it etched."
There you go.
And I'm like, "Well, you just write it down." He said, "No, I want your handwriting, Mom."
Yep.
And there's when you've really, there's some point when your 42-year-old son is wanting something in your handwriting. It's like, ooh, interesting. Mm-hmm. But that... Circling back, that's kind of the best Mother's Day gift.
Yeah.
When, those moments where you experience that, oh, things did matter.
Yeah.
You know, through the teenage years and through the tough 20s and whatever, things mattered.
Yeah.
So.
It's never the big things. You notice that?
Uh-uh.
It's never, we don't remember and hold on tight to, oh, remember when, you know, mom gave me this, you know, whatever. That's not the things you remember. You remember when you broke your arm and your mom picked you up from school. Not that this actually happened, but yeah. and is sitting in the hospital with you for hours on end, you know, waiting for them. I mean, I remember that memory so vividly, you know, and then taking you out to ice cream afterwards. I remember my mom's birthday is the day after mine.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, December is like super, you know, super emo for me because, you know, it's, yeah, when our birthdays are, and we always celebrate it together.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, having those memories where we would go and look at Christmas lights, you know, as a family, and having that connection with my mom, having, you know, knowing that, you know, we were that connected, that we're a day apart. So those are the things that as I get older, I really try to focus on my kids, and people joke around with me a lot because I go on cruises and I work very, very hard and long
yes,
hours, and then I'll be
does.
Gone and I'll go on a cruise. And, but everyone's like, you're going on a cruise again? Because that's what I do. I like cruising, you know, whatever. So, but when I'm on these things and I'm taking these trips, I'm trying to relay to my children, it's not about the things, it's about the time that you spend. And when I'm away with my husband, that's our quality time that we just have to each other,
mm-hmm.
right? Because our time is precious.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, I'm just going to give my little PSA. If you are blessed enough that your mom, your mama figure, your auntie mama, your sister mama, whoever is that mom, your daddy mama, whoever that mama is for you,
mm-hmm.
take a moment today, appreciate them, love on them, show them that you understand and appreciate the sacrifices that moms make.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a single mom and you're struggling and you're trying to figure out how to make ends meet, call us at Clinch Pal. We've got some great financial programs for you. We've got some credit counseling that's
yes.
beyond that we can help you to help take care of your children.
Mm-hmm.
You know that we love on you and we appreciate and we see you.
Exactly. And to help move you forward because it is so, you know, back to that single mom thing. You were talking about your at the hospital yeah. and the ice cream, you know, when I think about my mom, when she worked all day
mm-hmm.
and she came home every night and cooked supper and then she went to a second job.
Yeah.
And what I wouldn't give for some fried potatoes that my mama made.
Me too.
We never had fancy food. You know, it was a while back. Now you can't afford it. But, you know, we had a lot of fried bologna, fried Spam, lots of fried potatoes.
Yep,
because things that, at the time, those were the things that were cheap, too.
Oh, they were so
but, oh, my gosh, I tried to fry potatoes like my mom, and I just, I you know,
yeah,
you can't.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But things matter,
yeah.
you know, and oh my goodness, try to take time and ask stories.
Yes.
You know, because that's what you'll miss. If
phone.
I could only ask them about this mm-hmm. or that or, you know, and you know what? We all have lived through times and my kids and grandkids now through my husband and I, you know, we tend to tell, you know, same stories kind of over and over. I wish I'd listened closer
mm-hmm.
and I wish I had time to go, oh, that's interesting. Well, but then how did you come to be there? I mean, there's the rest of the story yeah. that would be really good to know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So just take the time. Honor mom. We honor you. We thank you moms for all that you do because moms lift up families and man, you are the heart and soul.
You know,
and
glue.
The hardest working people I've ever met, sorry, are moms.
Glue. Hey, and you know what? There's nothing like mom radar.
Ah, mm-hmm.
Right?
This is true.
Mom radar. I know my kids will be like, you know, do you remember this time when you called or
mm-hmm.
you did
that
this
instinct.
Or that? And it's like,
mm-hmm.
you know, you have no idea what was happening or going on at that time, you know. But
you knew.
Yeah, somehow. So it's that connection that keeps keeps us all grounded.
So, and on that note, that ends our day here for Mother's Day. I am Stace Cargi for Lindy Turner. This is Dollars and Cents on WAEW. We'll see you next week. Happy Mother's Day.
Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell airs every Sunday beginning at 1:15 right here on WAEW AM.